And that's just the way it works. And it's a great start to Radio Fishing here today. Chewball Express. We're going out in style.
Yep.
Jump, 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 jump. All right. We got Area Fish Report for you guys here today. Let's back down the music just a little bit. All right. Area Fish Report coming up. Fish and Frank in the chair here. Yeah, this is the old Fish and Frank thing for all you guys listening out there in the wide world web. And the interweb stuff, they're all over the place. You know how that goes. But Fish and Frank in the chair, Robert in the chair across from me, and in the guest spot today is Captain Josh Olive.
Hi, Frank.
And Josh Olive is also a fishing coach. You can...
No. I'm the fish coach.
You are the fish coach.
Fish coach.
Fish coach. So right. What can they do if they want? They can hire you, right? You are for sale.
Well, no, I'm for rent.
Oh, you're
very,
for rent.
Very different proposition there.
Gotcha.
If somebody wants to buy me, I mean, I guess make an offer to my wife. But if you want to rent me, you can talk to me about it. And go check me out at fishcoach.net. I'm about helping people catch more fish and helping them figure out how to do that. You know, and most people, if they just take the knowledge that they have and they apply it in a better way, they can start catching a lot more fish.
Well, the nice part about it is you can do it on land or on a boat or anywhere, you know, because some people actually just want someone to help them throw lures in, at their swimming pool or going down to a pier or on the beach or out in a boat or whatever the situation arises to. Because we arise to situations here. We all about arisal. Yes.
I don't know if arisal is a word, Frank.
I said it must be, right?
It is now.
It is now.
Somebody tell Webster.
Yeah. Hey, Webster's got to keep up. That's all I can say about it. You know what I mean? Okay. Let's see. I don't know what's been going on. Do we actually have anything for up on the Peace River?
Yeah, I've heard a couple different people talking about it.
Okay. Everybody's excited about that. All right.
Yeah, they can hardly contain their excitement. I almost saw them fall out of the bleachers.
Yeah. Well, you know, the people pay to be up there in the bleacher row, that, you know, the prices are good, but it is a long ways up, so they do have to be careful. And, you know, alcohol's cheap, so, you know, you got to watch them, guys.
Yeah, but your peanuts are a ripoff.
Really? you know, I thought cheap alcohol was good, you know. I'm a little high on the peanuts. What can I say? My peanuts are a ripoff. Yes. My God. All right. The Peace River System. Is there a fishery report?
Yeah, the afternoons I've been hearing of some guys doing a little bit better on the snook. Most of them are all small guys. Haven't heard of too many big fish. And then those big jacks are still up there between Harbor Heights there and the Navigator. And then also over there towards the trestle there, the Sansucci trestle, they're getting snapper, some small snook, some baby redfish, and then some guys are seeing some small juvenile tarpon rolling around over there. Haven't been hooking any, but they are at least seeing them. So the activity is starting to pick up just a little bit up there.
And all of that stuff is a heaping pile of fun, and if you want to go out and do some sport fishing, then absolutely. But if you're going out and you want to put some fish in the freezer, you want to put some fish on your table, the tilapia bite has been pretty good. And
where are you finding the tilapia?
I've been hearing reports from people who are living on the river there in Punta Gorda who are starting to see them around their docks. And even though the water is a little bit saltier than I would expect tilapia to be showing up in, you know, we're seeing them from the Navigator south, and we're also seeing some fish further north of there. And this is the time of year when they're starting to hit on pieces of worm. You know, we just had a lady here in the store literally moments ago showing me a photo of a fish that she'd caught in the river. What did I catch? And she'd caught a tilapia. Pretty good size one, too.
Yeah, really good eating. There's a bunch of them behind my house.
Yeah, and for those of you who've tried tilapia from the store, eat wild tilapia. It's a whole different fish.
Oh, yeah, the stuff in the store is real fishy, but once you catch them, you flay them, and they're not, you know, sitting there forever, they actually come out really nice.
Yeah, the ones we catch aren't even the same species as the ones they farm raise, so give them a shot.
Really? It's a whole different fish?
Mm-hmm. It's the green, isn't it?
The ones that they're farm raising are actually a hybrid fish that have been bred to live in very nasty water conditions so they can survive in the horrible conditions that they farm raise them in.
Yeah, because they're just in a big tank. They got 5,000 fish in a 10,000 foot or a 10-foot pond.
Yeah, and one of the things that they feed those fish in those kinds of situations is feces. So if you're not only have the fish swimming in their own waste, but you're adding feces to it to feed the fish, you know, you're going to have pretty nasty water conditions. And our wild blue tilapia, which are the ones we usually catch on worms, would not live in that. So,
yeah, okay.
Whole different animal.
But now most of these started out as farm tilapia.
Mm-mm.
Got loose.
The tilapia that we have here in Florida were released intentionally as vegetation control by the state of Florida, and they intended to release a different species. They intended to release Nile tilapia, and they accidentally got blue tilapia from their supplier. And blue tilapia are much more of
an omnivorous
than the Nile tilapia, which eat a lot more vegetation.
Yeah, it's just like they put the big carp. What's ridiculous is you're not allowed to keep the carp you find in the canals here. In the freshwater canals, we got 30, 40-pound carp, some are even bigger than that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know people in Europe that would just go nuts over these things, 4 or 5 foot long, and you're not allowed to take one.
Yep.
And all because they're supposed to eat the grass.
They're supposed to. And the ones they put here, our carp, are all supposed to be triploid, which means they can't breed, and it's a different species than the common carp. We have grass carp, which is actually a Chinese species.
Well, I don't know. They must have been breeding because they put them in many, 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 many years ago, yeah. And we still got them.
They've actually restocked a few times.
Yeah. All right. Let's see. Oh, we're forgetting someplace. Up I-75. What's going on?
I-75, the only thing I've heard about is some rat reds there on the north end of the bridge by the sawgrass. Other than that, nothing else to speak of.
Actually, the short snook are up there, too, right up by the sawgrass.
Okay. I remember Carl talking about something the other day, but I couldn't remember other than he talked about the redfish and another gentleman talking about the rat reds.
You got anything, Mr. Josh, the fish coach guy?
The last thing I heard off of I-75 was a guy going up there and catching a couple big black drum on blue crabs, but that's probably a week old.
All right, we'll put possible black drum on that. Okay, going around to 41 Bridge, the Power Pole Park, or the bridge itself... anything, guys?
Handful of short trout I'm hearing about with an occasional keeper. And then there has been some snook there in the early evening, you know. And then I've heard of a couple of small black drum. I haven't heard of any big ones.
No. I have heard of some whiting. Not many, but a handful up there. Guys fishing pieces of shrimp on the bottom.
Yeah. Yeah, I heard about them last week, but not this week at all. So that's not... It should be a lot better than that.
It should be, but,
you know
every week is going
to
be different.
One of my favorite things was always, you know, I live up on the river, and coming down the river to go out to the harbor to go fishing or wherever I was doing, you would see these guys, and there'd be three or four of them in a 12 or 14-foot aluminum boat, little V-front aluminum boats, you know, and they'd have a little motor in the back, and there always one of them had a 4-aught shark rod, and they're fishing for whiting.
Yeah.
I mean, one guy'd have a Zebco 202, another guy would have whatever and whatever, and then inevitably one of them would have a shark rod. And they're out there fishing whiting, right there in the middle of the river, pieces of shrimp, little hooks. I don't even know how he was able to get the line through the,
the hook size that he needed.
Yeah.
Well, that's how you can tell a guy who's really ready for some saltwater fishing. He's got a 4-aught and a broom stick for a rod. So he's ready. He's on it.
We had a poor guy here the other day, and he was talking to one of the captains, and I know the captain. He's a very nice guy, but I wouldn't take advice from him if it was for daylight or dark, you know, and he's really nice guy, but just not the sharpest tool in the whole shed right there. And he was telling the guy, and the guy went on the internet and bought this thing, and I mean, it was, oh my God, and he's thinking it's a big rod. Well, I showed him this little lightweight 6 to 12 Abu that had more backbone than that two-piece conventional setup he bought on the internet. He was like, well, that's too little. I said, okay, and I put a weight on his. Okay, I feel that. I put a weight on the other one. And now, "Oh, really?" I said, "Yeah. Just because it looks big doesn't mean it is big." All right. Let's see. Where are we? I went down too far. Can't see it. Lashley Pier. Robert, what's on your mind with Lashley Pier?
I've heard of actually a couple of sheep's head the last couple of days off of there. They were a little bit on the smaller side, but just legal. And then a couple of small mangrove snapper. And a couple guys did see some snook while they were walking along the seawall. Weird part is I haven't heard of any trout over there other than, you know, at the bridge. So if they're at the bridge and the power lines, I would assume they're catching them off the pier. So.
Yeah, I've heard of a few coming off the pier, and I've heard basically the same thing you have, except I talked to a guy who did manage to catch a few of those snook, and he was using one of Frank's old tricks, the walking the pier trick with a lipped plug.
All right. And Bayshore Pier, which is... any reports on Bayshore?
The North Pier, I guess, would
it's
be closed.
Yeah.
And the South Pier, I haven't heard anything off of, unfortunately.
Yeah, I've heard from a couple people who went out there, and they did not do much of anything. One of them said he caught a stingray.
Been some pretty low tides this week with that moon and the wind. Yeah. So not surprising that it would be pretty quiet.
When there's no water underneath the pier, it's probably not worth fishing it.
It was, yeah, people are coming in with pictures of Bayshore, and it's dirt all the way out to the last two pilings.
Yeah.
So, yep. Port Charlotte Canal System, anything good?
A lot of different stuff going on there. I'm hearing of a lot more sheep's head the last couple of days. Some trout down towards the mouths of the canals, and some of those have been better size. The guys that are catching those are actually taking shrimp on a small split shot and just jigging it right along the bottom, or putting them on a jig head and lightly hopping them along the bottom.
The surprise in there has been some of the redfish that have showed up. You know, we've had such a tough year for redfish, and guys have been going crazy trying to catch redfish, can't find a redfish, no redfish anywhere. And then suddenly the redfish just appear in the canals. And, you know, they're catching them right underneath their docks. They're catching them over around snook lights. They're catching them around the bridges. I mean, I wouldn't say you're going to go in there and, you know, catch 10 or 15 redfish in a day, but catching 3 or 4 is realistic if you're willing to put in the time and do it.
Shrimp on the bottom?
Shrimp on the bottom would be the way that I would go. Either that or a chunk of crab, since there are a lot of other things in there that'll eat that shrimp, including a few kitty catfish.
A lot of kitty catfish. There's been a lot of them around.
Meow.
Yeah, I gotta get a nice meow thing. Then maybe I'll get record that meow 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 meow. Yeah, although I kind of it's fun to do. You know, it's kind of like meow meow meow. You get into it and it kind of grabs you a little bit. You know. All right. Yeah, everybody, can you? Everybody walk around going meow 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 meow. All right. Algae Bean Pier.
That's been doing really good in the late afternoons and early evenings. Trout, some bigger mangrove snapper. Guys are catching the bigger mangrove snapper on those silver sides that we have. And then there's also been a handful of black drum and a couple of snook. So it's been not too bad there.
And it's weird, but Algae Bean is one of those places where there's a lot of fish, but it's a completely different place when you go there in the daytime versus going there at night.
Yeah.
You know, your daytime crowd, they're down there, they're catching the occasional whiting and some trout and the sheep's head, and every now and then the smaller mangrove snapper. And you go down there at night, and you can't get most of that stuff to bite at all, but the snook are down there. I heard of one guy who caught a sawfish from a boat, but right underneath the pier. And it's just, it's a whole different world down there at night. You got to experience it both ways.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's a lot of fun to go there at night and work lures for snook, because there's so many fish there. And once you learn how to do it, it's actually awesome.
But I know that throws people for a loop when we tell them, you know, there's snook down at Algae Bean. Well, I went at Algae Bean 4 days this week, and I haven't caught any snook. Well, what time were you down there, man?
It's not even that. You got to learn to go in the right time, right tide, and then learn how to approach it and how to do it. I mean, Angel was the one who perfected that down there. I've never seen anybody do it as well, and the only one as good as Angel is me. And the only reason was because I watched Angel, and he wasn't going to kick my butt. There was no way. I was not letting the big, ugly Puerto Rican kick my butt. So I watched Angel doing his thing, and then started copying him, and tried to get better at it. And I would say I was tied, but there was nobody as good as Angel. He was amazing. All right, the Mica River area in large in general, the Mica Cutoff, Tippy Canoe, the 14-foot hole, the pier, where we got?
Tippy Canoe and the north end of the Mica Cutoff have been doing pretty well. Been some sheep's head in some of those deeper holes. Some redfish, most of them are on the underside or smaller size. Snook have been doing a little bit better in the afternoons and the early evenings back in there. And then here I know some mangrove snapper and Mayan cichlids way up inside Tippy Canoe. A lot of kayak fishermen coming out of that little park up in there and going down and trying to see what they can find. And that's been...
Mayans and what?
Mangroves.
Okay.
Like one on every other cast, too.
Yeah.
You don't know exactly which one you're going to catch. They're all mixed in together. And, of course, further up the Mayaca, just like we have on the Peace River, you're going to have those tilapia going on. And I've had some reports that they're actually starting to bed up, too. So if you see any of those big holes in the bottom, those big moon craters where those fish have fanned them out, that's where you want to put your bait. You know, drop a chunk of worm in the middle of that moon crater, and you're going to get a fish to and come over and take it.
If I was going to the back of Tippy Canoe, I would take some night crawlers with me. If I was going up Tippy Canoe, I would have shrimp and night crawlers.
Or if you're going up the Mayaca at all, I mean, all of those canals are going to hold some of those fish. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's fun to take those kinds of bait up there because you're going up there sheep's head fishing or snapper fishing or whatever. You come back with a really nice mixed bag of interesting stuff that you can eat. It's all good. Just those tilapia are an extra item that a lot of people overlook, and they don't take shrimp nearly as well as they do worms.
Yeah. Peeled shrimp meat, they take pretty good. All right, the South Gulf Cove canals. This is always it. Drum roll.
I had one customer buy some shiners because he's been catching some bass way back in there. He didn't call me back to see how good he did that day, but he has been catching some bass pretty steady back in there. Other than that, I got no other good reports of it.
I've heard about some small snook caught back in there.
It's just a little weird. You know, usually the locks are lighting up pretty good right now, and even a lot of guys like to troll out of that lake out of there and just not getting their feedback.
All right, that's going to take us over to the West Wall. What's going on the West Wall?
It's been pretty skinny over there because of the full moon moving around. So on the higher tides when you can get in there, the redfish and snook are all along the bushes and in some of those creeks. So most of the snook have been on the smaller side, same way at the redfish, but there has been a few legal size reds over there. And then on top of the flat and just on the outside edge of the flat in like that 3 feet of water, they are picking up some trout, pompano, and the occasional bonnet head drifting down, and it seems to get a little bit more productive as usual as you get further to the south.
Yeah, and some of those trout have been really nice ones, too. I've seen some photos this week of fish that are in that 24, 26-inch range. I mean, a lot of them are going to be small, but if you keep moving and, you know, you keep at it, then you probably have a real good chance at getting some of those larger fish. And remember, big trout, while they will eat shrimp, they tend to move more towards fish when they get larger. So if you have... You know, if you can catch some small pinfish or mohara or use some kind of a fish imitating lure, you're probably going to have a little more success with targeting big ones.
It's amazing how many people, they catch these sand bream, mohara, same fish, different names, and never figure out they're actually good bait. They're always throwing them back, you know, looking for greenbacks or thread fins, but the moharas are actually really good.
Yeah, they really are. And when they get bigger, that's a fantastic eating fish. And I was really hoping to have some for this report, but I just haven't heard about them yet. It's coming up. It may be a month or two out, but it's coming.
What, the sand bream?
Yeah.
No, it should have already happened if it was going to happen, shouldn't it?
It's usually more in the middle of summer when we hear more about them. Because they like the real brackish water.
Right. But this time of year, I know you go out with cast net, and if you get up
way in the back creeks and stuff.
Yeah, you got to get right where the salt meets fresh. But what? They wad up right on the line between salt and fresh.
Where we see them a lot is in the same general areas where you find tilapia, because they have the same salinity preferences. You know, the tilapia are a freshwater fish that like mild saltwater, and the sand bream are saltwater fish that like mild freshwater. So that's why I was kind of hoping to hear about them, because more people have been targeting the tilapia, and didn't happen.
Okay. We're going to take us down to Cape Hayes. What's going on Cape Hayes?
The only thing I've heard about has been a bunch of small trout, the occasional pompano, and the occasional bonnet head. Hasn't been as gangbusters as it was last week with the reports, and I think that's just because of how windy it was this past week.
Too tough to get out there.
So I mean, exposed right there.
Blowing. I mean, that's a bad corner to be on. I've been out there, and all of a sudden the wind starts blowing, and you look right and go, can't really want to stay. You caught a flounder, you caught this, you caught that, and you're like, and then all of a sudden it gets bumpier and bumpier, and you're protected from the bar, so you just, okay, I'm going back to the east side so I can go home.
Now, I had one guy who was really excited over there in Cape Hayes on the outside, on the bar edge, because he thought that he had a school of redfish that he was sneaking up on. He said that he saw tails coming out of the water, and he was so sure that that's what it was, and he didn't really get a good look at him. Finally got close enough, made a cast, and spooked a whole school of sheep's head.
Wow! So that surprised me. I'm thinking this, that, and the next thing. But sheephead was not the word I expected to hear right there. That was not where I thought that was going at all.
Yep. And if he had thrown a shrimp instead of a chunk of cut mullet, then he might have actually caught one of them. But instead, he scared them all away.
That was good, Josh. You know, the audience was, you know, properly, you know, there was some impression made there.
They liked the misdirection.
Yeah, the misdirection was good. Okay. Whoop. Oh, there I am. Couldn't find my... I'm typing out this on the place-by-place fishing report as we go down the list here on fishinfranks.com, FishinFranks.com. No G in Southern Fishing. All right. Bull Bay, Turtle Bay, Gallagher's Cut. What do we got there?
A whole lot of different things going on there. That 3 to 4 feet of water out in the middle of Bull Bay has been holding a lot of trout with a few ladyfish mixed in with them. And same thing over in Turtle Bay.
Don't forget the bluefish.
Haven't heard anything about bluefish.
No. Nope. I had some guys who were catching that stuff, and they were getting cut off and finally realized it was blues.
Gotcha. So some bluefish.
A lot of trout, and did you say something?
A few ladyfish.
Okay.
And then Josh is hearing of some bluefish in there, which I've heard about some bluefish on the next couple spots coming up, but nothing inside there, which kind of stands a reason. Also underneath the shacks, the sheep's head are starting to stack up a little bit better. And in some of those deeper cuts, like around Gallagher's Cut, fishing up along those mangroves right where it drops off real sharp, some better sheep's head there. So some good mixed variety of stuff.
Anything else to add to that?
Some hit and miss pompano there in the Gallagher's area and on the entrance into Turtle Bay. But it's been real hit or miss. It's been guys going out and catching 3 or 4 today and then going out the next day, and where'd our pompano go? They're gone.
Yeah,
that's pompano.
That's the way it goes. Nobody put a little anchor in their butt. If they had a little anchor in their butt, they'd be a lot easier to find. All right, this is taking us over.
I think anchor butt would make a better nickname than chew ball.
Yeah, but now there can be only one. All right. Let's see. It's a good thing he doesn't listen to the report. All right. Cape Hayes Reef, Danger Reef. The reef's right there in the straits.
Danger Reef's the only one I've gotten a report off of, and there was a bunch of baby gag grouper, some small mangrove snapper, been a couple of legal sheep's head off of it. And the guy did see what he thought might have been a cobia swim underneath his boat, but he didn't get a good enough look at it and only saw it the one time. Kind of described a smaller shark, but then he started thinking about it and thought it might have been a cobia.
I'd add something here if I had anything to add.
Okay. Well, that's a really nice thought there, Captain Josh Fish Coach Guy. Yes, indeed. If I had something to say, I would say it now. Okay. Gasparilla Sound, which kind of encompasses everything from Devilfish Key, the phosphate dock north up to Placida. It could be against Gasparilla, or it could be out on the tailing flats on the other side.
Well, if you're going to talk about the phosphate dock, you should probably talk about Sheepshead, because there's been some pretty good stacks of them over there.
Well, I'm going to hit that. We'll hit that in Boca Raton.
You
pass.
Just said the phosphate docks.
Well,
1 second ago.
Well, of the phosphate
Stop
docks.
Stop trying to trick me.
It's a tease. It's all it is. It's just a tease. You know, you're sitting there and everything's nice. It's calm. And all of a sudden, you must get nervous. It's amazing what you can do with two notes on a bass guitar and an oboe, you know? All right. Okay, enough. All right, stop. Okay.
You're the one with your... Never mind. So
you were doing it. I wasn't making the noises. If you were doing it.
If you want to go north of there and find some sheep's head, then you do have those docks on the backside of Boca that are going to have sheep's head stacked up on them. And there are still some snook that are hanging out in that area, but don't expect to catch them. You will see them while you're sheep's head fishing, and they will thumb their little stripy noses at you, and you won't catch any of those. But the sheep's head, you can do very well with some sheep's head over there, as long as you don't have a line of people in front of you, because a lot of people know about that spot.
Okay. Robert, what you got?
Sheep's head are doing pretty good inside the canal system of Boca Grande. And then the flats all around the Three Sisters area. Some sheep's head, some trout, occasional bluefish. And then there's been some snook right up against the shoreline. You know, this whole week's been some super skinny water with almost no water, but some of the kayak guys putting in 19th Street been working that mangrove shoreline heading north up Gasparilla Island and doing pretty well on some small snook, occasional redfish. And then I'm hearing almost the same mirror image over there on the Widden side with around the sandfly and around the clam leases.
Okay, that's all right. Wow, that's a lot of misspelling for one paragraph. I usually put a little bit in there, but wow, that one's off the charts. Okay, see if you could figure out what I typed there. There's a quiz and a test later. All right, coming up to the Placida Pier trestles. You thinking the land side? You know, when you come up, you're coming off 761, and you're going down 776, right? No, it's 761 going from 776 to 761. Placida Road coming down. You make the curve. You turn off to the left in the middle of that curb into the parking lot. Walk out on that one next to the fishery, or going out onto the paying the toll, get it off. You go out on the island, you make the first left past the convenience store. Which one's better?
Me personally, I like going out onto the island and fishing it. Just because most people are too cheap to pay the $6 to go out there to park.
Yeah, and it's nice to go out there and have fewer people out there, but I kind of like the actual Placida Pier on the mainland side, because it seems to me that one's a lot fishier. You know, there's more action on that pier, and I think it's partly because there's more people who fish it, so there's more bait in the water, there's more food around there, so I think more fish tend to be there. So it kind of comes down to, which one do you value more? Do you want to value your solitude and your personal space,
right,
or do you want to be in a place where there's more fish?
Let's have a fish off here. Robert, what's on the Boca Raton side?
There's been some sheep's head, a couple of snook, the occasional baby gag, some really, really, really big pinfish. And then I've also heard of a couple of bonnet heads.
Right,
the pompano were a week ago. So I can't say that they're still there or not. Because that was, I think, Sunday.
Okay. Now, what all fish did you say? You said sheephead, snook, big
pinfish. Small gags, big pinfish, occasional bonnet head. And last Sunday I got a report of some pompano off there, but that was... You know, we're talking 5-6 days ago now, so it could have all changed.
Okay, Josh, on the mainland side.
Well, sheep's head for sure. That's going to be the big story. Some of those fish have been really good. The guys are catching down there. I talked to a couple guys who were down there, and it took them all day to do it, but they both got limits of sheep's head, and they said that they didn't keep anything that was under 13 inches. So when you can go out and do that from any land-based spot, then you're doing pretty good, especially when it's one that gets that much company on it. A handful of trout being caught, a few small redfish, Didn't talk to anybody who caught any giant pinfish, but I did see a photo with some good sheep's head, and he had a couple of pigfish grunts that were almost as big as his sheep's head were. So he's catching some good stuff. And I heard about one small blacktip shark being caught.
How small of a blacktip?
He looked like he was maybe 30, 34 inches.
A lot of the guys who think they're catching black tips are catching black nose, I think, right now. I've seen some of the pictures, and most of them to me look more like black nose than they do black tips.
Yeah.
It's a thinner fish.
Well, usually not the best, as bulky. The best way to identify a black nose is that it doesn't usually have the black tips on the fin.
No black tips. And
if you look underneath the snout, there may be like a little, it almost looks like a smudgy Hitler mustache kind of thing that the black nose sharks have. But I've seen some black noses that don't
Hitler,
even have that.
Go Hitler, you could go Charlie Chaplin, depending upon your attitude. You know, I mean, you know, we won't push you into comedic or criminal. You know, I mean, which one do you have? You know, dictator versus, you know, happy little walk around guy.
Okay,
you know,
all right. So an Adolf Chaplin mustache. All right,
are you seeing a correlation here to his attitude tonight?
He's got a lot of pent up anger.
It could be he's been doing a lot of fiberglassing on that charter boat of his.
It could be. So you guys better hope it stays pent up. By the way,
if it
comes unloosed, then we got trouble.
Well, that's when you put the Tyvek suit on. So that way when you pop, you're inside of the suit. And, you know, you will do no harm.
Yeah.
Paper suits just hold it all in.
Yeah, it's going to be no good to clean up.
All right, Lemon Bay, somewhere up there. What's wrong, Robert?
Nothing.
Nothing? Okay. No. All right, well, we're at Lemon Bay.
Oh, I got something for Lemon Bay, but I'm going to see what Robert has.
A lot of trout.
I bet he doesn't have what I have.
Yeah, the trout have been pretty good on both the Minnesota Key side and on the mainland side. 3 to 5 feet of water seems to be where it's at. The guys that are doing best on the bigger ones are all throwing paddle tails, shad tails. And then you've also had a handful of flounder underneath the docks on both sides. Other than that, Josh is going to trump me.
Well, it's just an interesting report. It's a cool thing, and it's something that I remember doing fairly frequently as a kid, and I haven't done it in a long time, and after hearing it, I want to go try it.
This is a cool thing, and let's see. Josh is going to try it. All right.
All right.
And that thing is
up at the Minnesota Bridge. There's a boat ramp, and at the boat ramp there are docks that you can fish on. And going down there in the evening, and this was a family member who did it, so I know I can trust his report, went down there and he caught about 30 spot. It's been a long time since I went spot fishing, and most people won't even know what I'm talking about, but it's a type of croaker. And if you like eating whiting, they're just as good as whiting. They're delicious. They're wonderful fish, and it's a great way to go fill up a cooler and have some fun family fishing.
Now, is the spot, there's also an Atlantic croaker.
There's an Atlantic croaker, and the spot is easy to tell because the spot has the spot on the shoulder. If he doesn't have the spot and he's thick-bodied, but he doesn't have a spot like a redfish, if he's not thick-bodied, then he's probably a whiting. If he's thick-bodied, then he's probably a croaker.
Gotcha.
So, okay. And that was also one of my favorite spots right there on the beach, just literally a hop, skip, and a jump from the boat ramp there to catch whiting back in the day. So you know, I think I'm going to go try both.
Here's a visual for you, Robert.
Him hopping, skipping, and jumping?
The hop, skip, and jump thing. Captain Josh.
You don't
doing
think
the hop,
I hop,
skip,
and jump?
I can see you skipping. It's the hopping and jumping part.
Oh,
really,
but I hop and jump. Frank.
You hop and
I
jump.
Totally do.
You're a hopper and a jumper. Yep. I get it. You know, for some reason, I had no problem with the skipping. I can actually see you doing that. But
I have skipped through this store before.
I actually would believe that. And in my belief, in turning it inward into productive inwardness, of Tom Anger pier thing next to the bridge part there.
Tom Adams and the Anger Pier?
Yes.
Tom Anger.
Tom Anger Adams Pier Bridge thing. Yes.
A lot of sheep's head. A lot of sheep's head under the bridge, all around the pilings. The pier itself, there's been a few sheep's head, but not nearly as many as the guys fishing in the boats. That's been the main thing I've been hearing about.
Yeah, and some of the guys who are trying to sheep's head fish from the pier are turning up all kinds of weird stuff. I saw pictures of file fish and the little wrasses. Which little wrasse is that?
The green wrasse?
The pudding wife wrasse.
Which is a green wrasse, right?
Well, they're greenish.
All right.
But anyway, weird little stuff. Yeah. What Robert calls hobberdobbers is what they're catching. They're trying to catch sheep's head, and they're seeing a few, but they're catching more hobberdobbers than anything else. And it's getting very frustrating because they're watching the guys in the boats over on the bridge catching fish. So make a friend with a boat if you want to fish that area.
Yeah, yeah. It is surprising how that alternates a little bit over there with some of that stuff. But it is cool because it is so close right to the that part of the intercoastal is so close to that pass, you get a lot of weird stuff.
Did I get this right? Hobberdobbers.
Sounds good.
That is correct. That's the way I've spelled it anyway.
I just making sure.
Hobberdobbers. I also heard about a couple of flounder caught down near the end of the pier, but pretty close to the pier. Again, guys, sheep's head fishing.
Any size to them?
They were keepers.
Well, there you go.
Well, that's good. All right. I know, boys and girls, you're listening out there, and you're thinking, yeah, okay, I got this. But we're going into the Gulf of Mexico. This is where things could actually get weird. Or not. Go ahead. Go ahead. Just
it's not as weird as we would like it to be, just because it's been a little sporty out there this past week.
You need a lot of reports to get weird, and until you start getting a lot of reports, it's kind of, well, that's what we kind of expected. Yeah. So when you only have a handful of reports to choose from.
Yeah, the main thing going on out there is guys are chasing triple tail because it's been just a phenomenal year for that, and near shore close, 3 to 7. Still the snappers, porgies, and sheep's head. Helen's Reef, Mary's Reef, Charlotte Rocks, Novak and Trembly Reef all kind of have the same gig going on, but that's, like Josh said, only a half a dozen or so different reports. I think by the end of this weekend, we'll have some pretty good reports because it's supposed to be relatively nice wind.
It's beautiful today.
It's gorgeous today. We had a handful of guys buy some stuff to go offshore.
Now,
I'd say tomorrow would be a good day.
I have talked to a couple of lunatics. And I call them that in a loving way, who run out of the Fort Myers area, who do go way offshore.
Right.
And they've said that they're catching keeper red grouper, but they're looking 120 to 140 feet deep to actually find those fish. And that's not something that your average person has been able to go out and do lately with the way the weather's been. They're also said that they're finding more yellowtail snapper than they expected, and that the lane snapper that had been doing so well have kind of dried up, at least down there to the south.
That's pretty interesting. I haven't heard of yellowtail down that far in a while.
Well, I think this cooler water and everything is really going to change, because we haven't had water this cool in a long, long time.
Right. It's been a couple of years.
So with that, you're literally looking at, fish going to be moving south, moving north. I wrote an article a little while ago and telling people, if you're going to read the fishing magazines like this, don't concentrate on your area, because check out what's going on in your area in the fishing magazine. But one of the magazines I write for has people all along the coast on it. And I was telling them, if the water's getting warmer, watch what the people to the south of you are catching, because they're going to show up in your area. Or if the water's cooling off, if it's getting colder, look at what fish are far north and then a little bit north of you, and you'll literally be able to tell what fish are coming.
Right.
Looking below you on the coast, above you on the coast, depending upon if the water's warming, the fish are going to be moving north. If the water's cooling, the fish are going to be moving south. So, be sure when you're looking around to check that. And watch, like Josh is the publisher of the Waterlife, and watch the freshwater articles. Not if you don't, not if not about are you, do you want to catch bass or whatever, but what lures may be appearing next on the flats.
Right.
Because most of the lures, like, look at how the storm crawdad has just gone crazy over the last couple of weeks because people are catching redfish with it
the
now.
Strike and
the
king.
Trout, the Strike King.
Rage craw.
So the trout are hitting it, the redfish are hitting it. It's becoming a hot thing on the flats. And that's absolutely a freshwater lure. And watch for different rigs and stuff, because the more you look around the magazine, you can look at some rigs and, okay, forget about the whole bass, snook, okay, the one's freshwater, one's saltwater. Good rig's a good rig.
Absolutely.
And if it's catching fish there, it might catch fish here.
Well, look at the guys that are drop shotting for snook around docks.
Absolutely. It's awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, a drop shot's nothing more than, what does Mike call it, chicken rig?
Chicken rig, porgy rig.
Yeah, drop shot's not more than a porgy rig or, you know, a double drop or single drop rig with the weight on the bottom and a bait off the side.
Yep.
I mean, that's actually a saltwater rig that they've converted to freshwater. So look at the different techniques. Check the stuff out. Now, do you see it, Josh, where you're seeing in the freshwater section, you notice all of a sudden you're hearing about these lures, and next thing you know, they're appearing in the saltwater side?
It does happen, and I think that's because there's a lot of money nationwide in the bass fishing market, much more so than we have in the saltwater fishing market.
Well, bass is what, in 40-some states?
I think there's bass in every state except for Alaska.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if there's bass in every state, but let's say 46.
Right.
You got redfish in the Carolinas, Georgia, Florida, Mississippi, Alabama, Louisiana, and Texas.
But the way we fish them, inshore style, you know, in a lot of places they don't even do that.
But
so
what I'm saying is that that's only there. Snook, the top of their range is Tampa. And then draw a line over to Texas. So only very South Florida and very South Texas
right.
have snook fishing. So you're not going to have a lot of people making lures for a fish that's only available in two small areas in the United States.
But another thing that factors in is, I think you're seeing more of that freshwater stuff happening in saltwater now because people have realized what you were just talking about, which is that a good lure is a good lure. A good rig is a good rig. And, like, let's take, for example, the crawfish that you're talking about. A lot of people never realize we have very similar animals living out here on the flats. The pistol shrimp that we see coming in the bait tanks,
absolutely.
That thing just looks like a crawdad. It's well, almost the same thing in appearance and in the way it moves.
Even think of a blue crab sitting there with its claws up in a defensive position.
Yep.
You know, just before the redfish eats it, that's what he's seeing. A critter there with both claws up, and
right.
he gets eaten.
Yeah, and like with bass worms, you know, we actually have far more worm-like animals living in saltwater that fish eat than there really are in freshwater. I mean, you're trying to imitate a little salamander or something like that in freshwater. In saltwater, there's actually worms that look just like a bass worm that fish eat all the time.
Well, anything to add to that, Robert?
No, that was
before we move on.
Plethora of information there.
I actually have an honorable mention for the Gulf, from a gentleman who called me, who had talked with me about trolling techniques a couple months ago, and he went out and he trolled all day long, and he didn't catch a single kingfish, and
okay.
he wanted to know what he had done wrong. And I had to tell him that the water's too cold. The kingfish aren't here anymore. You were trolling
right.
where there's no fish. So don't go trolling for kingfish because the water got too cold.
All right. I just write in here, trolling sucks.
Yes.
Okay.
Write that.
I'll write that on the fishing report here. All right. Now,
I felt so bad for the guy because he was out there with his wife all day, and they knew they were going to catch him.
Okay, we have to be good. This is actually broadcast. Be nice. All right, the passes. Anything in redfish?
Have not heard of anything in redfish.
Josh, anything?
Some sheep's head in redfish. Some sheep's head and a couple of pompano.
They catching them right in the pass itself or
okay.
along the edges of it?
I wasn't there with them.
How about Captiva?
Captiva, I'm hearing of some snappers, some sheep's head, a couple of flounder, and then one guy caught a small bluefish. So a little bit of activity there. Haven't heard of much else. You, Josh?
Nothing.
All right, Boca Grande Pass.
Sheep's head, pompano, some mangrove snapper, a lot of baby gag grouper, and the occasional baby red grouper. There has been some Jackson ladyfish popping out in the middle of the channel, but not consistently at all.
Weird thing is, and I already mentioned the sheep's head on the phosphate dock, which you told me I wasn't allowed to mention that, but I was going to mention now, and then Robert said sheep's head, so never mind. The weird thing to me is that talking to guys who have been going down there targeting Goliath grouper, they're not finding any Goliath grouper.
It's too cold. They're going to push out deep.
We'd expect to find a few. I mean, the numbers aren't going to be what they usually are, but, I mean, we've been down there in wintertime and caught Goliath grouper before. I would expect at least a couple hanging around.
But the water's colder than we've been used to in 10, 15 years. It's chilly water. When did we have that snook kill?
2010.
Okay, that was 8 years ago, and it didn't last very long. It was a week, and it was gone. You know, we had 4 days, you know, 2 days of really cold, or 3 days of really cold, and then it just gone. And this, the overcast days, like tomorrow, we're going to keep that water temperature down. Today, we got it bright, it's sunny, the water's warming up, but tomorrow it's going to be overcast again. It's going to be warm, it's going to be nice, but it's not going to be warming the water. You know, little Gasparilla Pass, anything?
I got nothing. Just crickets.
Okay, Venice?
Lots of sheep's head off the jetties there. A lot of little mangrove snappers. And then a couple of whiting.
Whiting both off the pier and down around the rocks in Casperson. Along with a couple of flounder, although I haven't heard any keepers there.
Okay.
The tricky bit about sheep's head fishing there on the jetties especially is not getting your rig stuck.
I thought I was trying to hip check the other guys trying to take your rock that you're standing on.
Well, there's that too. But that part's not that tricky because it's easy to knock those old guys off into the water.
Oh, yes, I give it a try when I'm on the rocks or when I got one on the rocks. Let me put it this way. Give me one on the rocks and let me stand on the rock and see if you can knock me down. I could probably knock myself down.
The Mr. Sheep's Head method, which is basically the same way that you would fish a trout rig on the flats, you know, running a bobber and then a split shot below it and then the hook below that. Now, he liked to keep his split shot about 10 or 12 inches above his hook. I like my split shot a lot closer to the hook than that, but you're looking at probably 5 to 6 feet of line between your float and your hook. So it's longer than a rig that you would cast for trout, but you just chuck that thing out there and let it kind of drift over the rocks. And it's very effective, and you lose a lot less gear those rocks.
Tying into that, if you're going to walk along the beach casting out, what would you expect to catch? Anywhere from, you know, Venice, anywhere. Just pick a beach, Gasparilla, South Padre, whatever, you know.
South Padre?
Hey, how do I know? I'm making stuff up here, boy. I'm just winging this thing. I'm trying to get through it. Along the beaches, Minnesota Key, you know, Englewood Beach, what?
Stump Pass, I've got lizard fish, a couple of whiting, some big pinfish, and a couple of real small black drum. That's the only report I've gotten from a couple people beach fishing.
And it's been slow down around the Stump Pass area, but further up north, you know, up around Minnesota and up into the Venice area, you know, it's been a mix of the stuff we've already talked about. The whiting, a couple of small black drum being caught down there, a few small flounder. But I'll tell you something, if you're going to go beach fishing, take a few minutes to do some reconnaissance work first. Take a look and see what the surf is bringing up. Are there coquinas that are burying into the sand? Are there sand fleas that are getting washed up? Take a sand rake down there with you. And even if you don't need to catch your own bait right there, do a few rakefuls and see what turns up. If you don't have sand fleas, if you don't have coquinas, you're probably not at a good fishing beach. You're someplace where there's not a lot of groceries there for the fish. Gotcha. Move on. Find a better one.
All right. Well, that's going to take us down to Ponderosa, Sanibel. What's going on down there?
Honestly, right there, the docks just north of Ponderosa have been producing some big trout on the outside of them, and a couple of small snook in the afternoons, and then the Sanibel Causeway itself, a lot of sheep's head around all those pilings. That's really about all I've gotten off of it.
it's close to, but not quite in the same area, the Fort Myers Beach Pier. I've had some trout being caught down there. Most of them are going to be on the small side, but a few decent sized ones. Some pretty good sheep's head catches there, which is kind of weird because I haven't heard good sheep's head catches at the Lighthouse Pier on Sanibel. But the Fort Myers Beach Pier seems to be doing pretty well.
I haven't been on that sheep pier in more.
Was it sheephead and something
trout.
Else?
Trout.
Okay. I get typing and sometimes I can't hear what you guys are doing. All right. Poor Robert's got a cold. He's sniffles.
Just sneezed my brains out. Now it's all weird.
Now dripping down.
Yeah. Hang on. Okie dokie pokey. We're going to move right on down to the Coosahatchee River. That is in Fort Misery, Fort Myers down there. You know, the Coosahatchee or the river.
I got nothing.
Nothing. I got a lot of blank
After
stares.
All that intro, there's nothing, huh? Well, I haven't heard anything about the lower part of the Coosahatchee, but up north of the Franklin Locks, where you're on the freshwater side of it, the tilapia bite has been okay. The Mayan cichlids have been really good, and there's been a few shellcracker and bluegill biting also.
Yeah, I would think the pre-spawn bass should be going off up there pretty good.
I would expect, but I haven't heard. Not there, anyway. I mean, you keep going up, and eventually you hit Lake Okeechobee, and that's a different story.
Right.
Okay. This is going to take us over to Matt Lachey. What's going on in Matt Lachey?
Right there, just south of Matt Lachey, hearing of some redfish out there around some of those oyster bars, along with a lot of sheep's head. And then, of course, the mouth of the Cape Coral Canals, a lot of sheep's head, few redfish, a couple of snook in the afternoons and evenings. And then right off the Matt Lachey Bridge, lots of sheep's head. Never heard of much anything else there, though.
Yeah, I've heard of a couple black drum there at the bridge. Not real big ones, you know, more in that 20, 24-inch size, right about the size where it makes a couple decent meals. It's a good size to catch, if you ask me.
Yeah, I like them. All right, that's going to move us on down to Pine Island Sound. What do we got in Pine Island Sound?
A lot of trout down towards Captiva Rocks and then up by Yuseppa. They seem to be all out around that 3 to 5 feet of water, just like in the harbor. The bigger trout, obviously, the guys are catching them drifting, and as they get over some of those deeper sand holes, working the 3 and 4 inch shad tails has been the most productive thing going on. A couple guys have been casting that some small pinfish and catching a few on those. Even heard of a couple occasional bonnet heads, but overall not much on redfish or snook.
Well, it's from the guys I've been talking to, it's been a pretty good mix. They're catching that kind of stuff, but they're also catching, you know, a handful of pompano, a couple of redfish, a couple of snook. But you never know exactly what you're going to catch when you put that bait out there, because the fish have been so kind of mixed in general.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you're using some types of lures or baits, then you may be eliminating certain classes of fish. Like if you're using pinfish, you're probably not going to catch any pompano. But if you're going to use shrimp, then you're probably going to catch anything that's out there that happens by your shrimp, since, you know, everything eats shrimp. So yeah, that's what I'd gear towards, is something that will catch pretty much whatever happens to be biting. So, I mean, that's what the show's all about, right? Catching fish?
Right. Actually, good point. Not arguing. Yeah. Yes, Sahib.
Okay,
Casino.
Excellent.
Yes. Yes, no, very good. Let's see. No, all right. Well, I'm sitting here at the moment. It's just kind of a... All right, can't get my thoughts together. It's all going right into there. All right, let's see if I can bring this back from the brink. All right, Chug Creek Shoals, Boquilla. What do we have there? Come on, guys. It's a fishing spot.
Right around the Boquilla Pier up against the shoreline, they're talking about some sheep's head, and that's about all I've heard about over there. I haven't heard of the trout or anything like that that should be around.
Scattered, small. I mean, it's nothing like it should be. Don't really quite understand that.
Yeah, we've been talking about it a lot. I think it's the glass minnows is a little weird.
Yeah, this year we're missing glass minnows. And without the bay anchovies, glass minnows, there is the fishing is not as good. That's just the way it goes. I mean, it's just, we need those glass minnows moving up in the harbor, thick schools. That brings in the mackerel, which brings in this and brings into that and brings in everything. And, you know, we need it for the trout, the ladyfish. Those glass minnows kind of are the canary in the coal mine for as far as the harbor and how much fish are going to be out there. More right. glass minnows you got, more fish you got.
Yeah, it's true.
All right.
Oh, I did hear about a lemon shark caught over by Jug Creek.
Okay. I can go back up now.
A little guy or a big guy?
No, pretty good one.
Really?
Yeah, they said it was about 10 feet long, so I'm guessing it was about 7 feet long.
Right. It's funny how that works, isn't it? That's still a good lemon.
Yeah.
I mean, and especially for this time of year, come across one, that's even better.
Yep.
They're fun fish. When you get them boat side, they go ballistic. The actual fight for their size isn't as impressive until you get them next to the boat.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're not, you know, some sharks just go ballistic and they fight and fight and fight. But lemons, you get a good pull all the way through, but then they get really nuts next to the boat. And that's when most people lose them because they just, they kind of save it all for one. Yeah. No, I'm not doing that. Okay. Burnt store, Two Pines area. What's going on now?
Well, closer to Two Pines, I'm getting some better reports on some trout out there on those flats. They're catching them on mostly the the shad tails, paddle tails. A few guys are catching them on the Little Johns. And then, dang, the residual cold kills me.
You know, you got it from one of your customers. So
I'm sure
thank
I
them.
Did. I'm sure I did.
Well, the problem isn't here. You're dealing with people shaking hands all day, then you're handling money.
Mm-hmm.
And when you handle money, you're going to get sick.
Yep.
I mean, one bill will pass the bacteria through like 50 of them. You know, somebody sneezes on one bill, and the next 50 it touches are have that, because it takes 24 hours for that flu virus to go. So when I'm counting money, I plastic gloves, wash my hands every time I get done, because otherwise, as soon as you touch your mouth or light a smoke, you're sick.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of effort goes into not being sick nowadays. Okay.
Yeah. And some
Two Pines.
Some redfish down over there, too, but the guys who are fishing from the boats aren't really finding them. It's the guys who are willing to get out there on foot and wade who are finding those redfish, and they're spooky. You know, they're not easy to get up on even if you're wade fishing, but they're there.
There has also been some pompano on occasion with a couple of flounder on the that wading flat, basically, south of Burnt Store. Most of them been out towards the bar on the outside edge of the bar that I've been hearing. A couple of guys skipped some pompano yesterday, couldn't figure out how to catch them, so they came back in today to buy some pompano jigs to go see if they could find them again.
Okay. Most of the reds have been up closer to the shoreline.
All right. Heading north, Pirate Harbor, up towards Alligator Creek along the east side of the harbor.
I've heard a few sheep's head in Pirate Harbor, a handful of mangrove snapper. Nothing incredible, but, you know, fairly reliable, especially if you are already in that area.
Yeah, I'm hearing of a lot of little trout. Not a lot, but a decent amount of trout inside Pirate Harbor. And then working their way north on the flats there around some of those little islands, they have been getting some sheep's head, a lot of small mangrove snapper, and the occasional keeper redfish. A couple guys have been seeing snook cruising along those islands, but haven't gotten any of them to chew. And I think that's because they're fishing just too early in the day for it. Seems like the later afternoon has been when most of the people have been talking about the catching of the snook, because they've actually had the day to warm up.
Yeah, I did have some reports on the outside of the bar there. A guy was telling me that he was seeing what he thought might be cobia or they might be bonnethead sharks. He couldn't tell which. And he said that every time he tried to get in close enough to them to ID them, they just swam away. So that sounds more like cobia to me.
Yeah. Yeah, it seems a little bit more probable.
Okay. Alligator Creek, Poacher's Cut. What do we got?
Jacks is the only thing I've gotten, heard of. You know, basically trolling. Guys are slow trolling from Burnt Store Isles, going out and catching a handful of jacks in the 5 to 10 pound range. None of the real giants that we've been hearing about inside PGI or up in the river, but nice size fish.
Some trout in a very deep water, but not consistent. It's, I got it listed as possible, but it's tossing the anchoring your boat up in on the inside of a bend and tossing your bait way up into the current with just a split shot, let it go down and drift around the bend in front of you, and possible trout that way.
I've heard about some small redfish up underneath docks and along the seawall, but there's been a lot of catfish there too.
Yeah, plenty of catfish around in the canals.
Generally no shortage.
No. There was a big school of them going through my canal last night eating something that was dead in the middle of the canal.
Okay. I just really can't help it. Okay. Anything in the skating rink before I move on?
I have not heard of anything up in there.
Mm-mm. Nope. Okay.
Even my wade fishermen don't want to go in there.
Ponce de Leon Park.
I have not heard of much since they dredged it, other than a couple of small snapper and an occasional black drum.
I talked to some very disappointed sheep's head fishermen who went out there. They caught one sheep's head about 8 inches long.
Wow. Ponce is usually so good, but when they do the dredging, it does take a week or two for them to come back up. All right. Back up in the PGI canals, what do we got going on?
A lot of nice jacks. I mean, still getting some good reports of jacks. The guys that are smart enough to troll on their way in and out have been picking up some 5, 10, and even 15-pound jacks pretty consistently. A handful of snook in the afternoons. A lot of snook around the dock lights at night. Those are mostly the peanuts are the ones that are cooperating the first couple hours after sunset. And then I'm hearing of some small mangrove snapper and even an occasional juvenile tarpon showing itself.
Get some trout in the deeper areas too. And a handful of redfish, but not as many as there are in the Port Charlotte canals.
Usually you hear about those redfish way back in the Rim Canal and those deep, deep holes, those 20-foot holes and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm sure there are some back in there.
I'm sure.
A lot of what I'm hearing about, people are actually catching from their docks.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice.
Sounds like somebody showed up and they're getting a little ruckus out front.
It could be just Jeff talking to himself. He's fairly loud.
A party in his head.
Yes.
It's a party.
It could be.
Yeah. All right.
Love the man, but boy, is he loud.
What?
I love the man, but boy, is he loud.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, you gotta be, otherwise you get overlooked.
I don't.
It's easy to overlook him. He's only 4 foot nothing.
Steve in the morning, not Peg Leg, but Black Steve. Yeah. He's loud.
Yeah.
He's loud.
Both them too.
Both them too? Well, yeah. One works morning, the other works afternoon. We gotta even it out during the day.
Right.
So, all right. Let's see. Gilcrest Pier. Yes.
It's closed. That makes that one real easy.
Closed.
Maybe they should just keep it that way.
It's a good old pier. I like it.
I just like
it. But I'm nostalgic. I used to live immediately across the street from that, out looking over the park.
And what did you catch there then?
Lots of snook, flounder.
Oh, the snook fishing there used to be incredible before they changed that seawall up.
Yeah. I mean,
that was awesome.
Where that gazebo house is out there, what that is actually built on is the bricks from the street. When I lived there, the people got together and said, no, you're not paving over these bricks. We'll save them, you know, and put, you know, take them all out, clean them up. And there was old women, 90 years old, with, you know, walkers out there chipping the stuff off the bricks and cleaning them up. I'd go out there in the morning before I'd go to work, take a pickaxe and just go through and rake up and get all these bricks loose. Then during the day, the older people in the neighborhood would come clean them, stack them all up on pallets. And then after they were all torn up, and they come through with the trucks, lay the sand out, and the neighbors in that area right there on McGregor and all those streets that are bricks right now, mm-hmm. It was the people who lived there that put those bricks down. And I tore up like 3 or 4 of those streets and helped lay all those bricks. Because I was in my 20s back then. So, you know, they're all my age and older now. But back then, you know, you would, before you go to work, you'd go out there, I'd go out pickaxe and just tear up all the bricks. Enough for them to stack up during the day. And then when it all went to be putting back down, You had people with rakes, and you're setting the bricks all in place, and people throw sand over it and sweep it all in. But that's how that was done, all by hand, all by the people who live there. So just a little point of curiosity.
Don't you love the stories that old people have?
Yeah.
They're so cool.
Yeah. I mean, you know, can you imagine a group of these millennials now going, oh, yeah, we're going to rip all the bricks up in the street, clean them, and put them all back.
Uh-huh. They're going to have their own stories.
Before, yeah.
I took a nap. I sucked my thumb. I ate Play-Doh. It was a rough life.
I ate Play-Doh, yes. Okay. And what's sad to say is because there's some awesome millennials. I mean, you know, Austin, Andrew. Well, Austin isn't a millennial, is he?
No.
He's, what, X or something like that?
Or
Z or... I don't know what the thing after millennial is.
I don't know. Post-millennials?
Got to be better. I don't know. I think the millennials are growing up and going, listen, look what our parents did to us.
Well, the post-millennial generation, I know we're going off on a tangent here, but, you know, every generation has kind of a snapback from the one before it, and the post-millennials have realized, you know, you might actually have to work to make something out of yourself.
Yeah.
And they're doing it.
You can't live in your mama's, you know, your mom and daddy's basement forever. So, but like I say, there's a lot of good young people. It's just the few that are weird and bad are really weird. I mean, you know, I mean, flip on the news at night. Oh, my God. What's with the hats? I don't get that.
Have you ever tasted Play-Doh before?
I can't. I'm sure I have.
You should try it. It tastes like Poseidon's salty butthole.
Okay. Wow. All right. I'm going to die here. Come on.
All right. I was thinking about eating a Tide bag.
Oh, yeah.
If they want to do that,
this is the
then...
next generation. Ooh. This is the one after millennials we were just saying was doing good things. They're the ones sucking on the Tide bags because they're pretty.
Hey, if they think that's interesting, why don't they take the challenge of chewing through their drywall and finding out there's cool cotton candy behind it?
Yeah. Okay. God. Alligator Creek Reef. And it's not funny, but it is funny. Okay.
Alligator Creek Reef. You can't think stupid, but you got to laugh at it.
This is a fishing show, God darn it. Guys, every time I hear a criticism of the show, well, you kind of go off on tangents. You know, you kind of get off the topic a little bit, Frank.
I am so, so sorry. You are right. Next time we'll talk about nothing but redfish for 90 minutes straight.
Well, I mean, I'm sorry. It's just, and Carl was sitting there. He looked at the guy and he said, but that just ain't Frank. That just wouldn't be Frank. Okay. So I'll be frank with you now, and I will go back to topic. Alligator Creek Reef.
Some sheep's head, a couple of small mangrove snapper, and that's about all I got.
Hey, I'm going to shoot your Goliath grouper theory in the foot, because I heard about two Goliath grouper caught on Alligator Creek Reef this past week.
But they were probably 10 pounds.
Well, one of them was smaller, like the 15-pounder range, but one of them was like 50.
That's not too bad.
So if they weren't too cold there, they shouldn't be too cold at Boca Grande now.
But they're young and stupid. They can put up with the cold weather.
I don't know why they wouldn't be there, but I would assume cold. But
they always leave when the mullet run finishes. Every year it seems like they thin out big time out there in that January, February.
I wonder if they follow the mullet out.
Wouldn't surprise me. But it always seems to seem like January, February is a weird month for Goliath.
You look at the tarpon. As soon as the big ones come, all the little ones leave the canals, they go out and they join the big ones for a certain amount of time, and then who's ever big enough to leave with them does, and the smaller ones, you know, are hustled back off to the canals and rivers where mm-hmm. they go to spend the rest of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what if the mullet run is the Goliath grouper signal to, okay, I'm going to go out where I belong, out in the Gulf of Mexico, because they won't live here. They live out in the Gulf of Mexico.
Right.
You get the one, you know, the weird Uncle Ernie who just can't, you know, abide by it, or, you know, Grandpa Frank who's just going to have to go off on his own way. I mean, one of the biggest Goliath I've ever seen or dreamt of seeing, I saw at I-75. I mean, my boat's 25 feet, and I guarantee you that fish was every bit of half of it. Big Goliath. I mean, it literally looked like a car coming underwater at me. So
that's
there's always going to be you know, the oddball ones. But what if that is the signal? So when the mullet are making that run, I mean, it's a food source they can follow out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the timing, you know, okay, we're going to leave, and okay, the water's getting cooler, let's go out, get to deep water of the Gulf, find our own reef place to stay.
Yeah.
Isn't that weird how he picked Frank for the name of a weird one?
Grandpa Frank.
Yeah.
I am Grandpa Frank. And there was no better example. It wasn't a strange coincidence. It's I know me, and if anything's going to happen, I'm going off my own way. You know, it's like when there's a hurricane. Government says go to that hurricane shelter. It's right there to the west. I'm going as far east as I can get. If they say go to the east, you'll be safe. I'm going to the west. Or the north or the south. Anything but where they say to go.
And a couple of spade fish.
And a couple of spade fish and a partridge and a pear tree.
Good way to get him back on topic.
That was good. Well, I figured if I said a fish, he'd start typing and that would get him back to where he was supposed to be.
That was good. S-P. Okay, there it is. Spade. I got it. Deep holes in the harbor are what we're looking to lend our ears and our minds to.
There's, I'm just waiting for your sound 20 effect.
20-foot hole, the middle hole.
Both you guys, simultaneous. Come on. 3, 2, 1.
Meow, 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 meow. Okay. I thought the catfish were gone from out of there.
The only couple guys that actually tried to fish it because it's been so windy, that's all I heard was catfish.
Yeah, I mean, this is maybe not the best time to go out and try there, and that's really what I would... Not like there's big, huge piles of catfish, but that's what you're going to expect to find.
Okay. All right. Now, what we're looking for in this segment of Are You Ready to Go Fishing? This is... Sorry, okay.
Can't even say it with a straight face.
Yeah, I'm trying.
It was a good reach, but he blew
it. Try again. Give another shot.
And now, back on the flats and out in the harbor, as you look, where are the young ones? Where are the small ones? Where is the bait?
I don't know. Good question.
Yeah, okay.
That's what we were wondering about earlier.
If any of us could figure it out, then...
Any pinfish anywhere.
A handful down in Pine Island Sound, a little bit around Jug Creek, and a handful over there by Devilfish, but they're far and few between right now.
They are included in the hobber-dobbers that are up there at the Anger Pier. But, you know, if you're hoping to go catch enough to have bait for the day, I hope that you're going to spend today going pin fishing and tomorrow going fishing with them.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been a long process.
Any white bait around?
I've heard of a couple pods out along the beaches, but most of it's been smaller.
Now, I'm taking the Florida Master Naturalist classes, We're doing the saltwater module right now, so we were out on the water yesterday kayaking around. And I can tell you that, and this is great news, you're gonna really like this, huge, huge schools of teeny tiny inch-long mullet.
Really?
And I'm not talking about a few mullet. I'm talking about lots and lots and lots of mullet. And I know for sure what they were because we had FWC with us yesterday, and they said, oh, yeah, these are mullet. Mullet everywhere right now. And I said, that's good. More mullet than usual? Way more mullet than usual. Wow. That's good.
That's actually excellent. I mean, to be able to go out and see thousands upon thousands of tiny mullet is
tiny
awesome.
Inch-long mullet. And they're everywhere. They're where we were seeing them was in the Gasparilla area, but we were seeing them pretty much everywhere we stopped. That's excellent. One of the very few things that we were seeing out there yesterday was lots of mullet all over the place.
All right. Any thread fins anywhere?
Nothing that I've heard of.
All right. Ladyfish.
Just the handful in Bull and Turtle Bay. A couple on occasion. Bycatch. I mean, there's nothing targetable right now. They're just kind
of... I know where there's a bunch of ladyfish.
Where is that?
Your freezer.
Okay. Any place else?
Nope.
All right. Well, I did pinfish, white bait, thread fins, ladyfish. Anything else for bait?
Nothing. It's been slim pickings out there.
All right. Freshwater. What's going on freshwater?
Crappie, bluegill bass, but the crappie have really been this really big thing going right now. The Northport canals, Rotunda, they've even been catching a few out there at the Webb lakes. You know, not great numbers of them, but I've heard of a couple guys catching them trying to fish for bluegill.
It seems to be cyclical out there, how many crappie there are. You know, some years there's a handful that are caught, and then some years guys go out and they catch piles and piles of them. I've had guys go out there and try bass fishing and not be able to catch bass for all the crappie that they catch. This hasn't been one of those years, but...
All right. Bass fishing, anything?
Yeah, the bass fishing has been good. A lot of shiner fishermen. I mean, we're not selling nearly as many plastics or spinner baits like we were, but the shiners are still doing really well. Couple fish are actually starting to go on bed already. Guy was fishing up there off of Veterans in one of those canal systems, and he's looking at small males already sitting on a couple beds. So, I mean...
We've been seeing them bed pretty hard in Central Florida, and they're usually a few weeks ahead of us. So it's not surprising that we're starting to see fish on beds down here now. Again, most of the ones that are on beds are going to be males for the time being, and a lot of them are really not that interested in feeding yet. They're much more interested in...
That's why you go to do lizards.
Yeah.
Drop a lizard in the nest, let it sit there. He's going to flare up, get all big-headed about it, flare his gills out, strike it, don't set the hook. Wait, because he's going to back off, and when he goes to get it out of the nest, he has to pick it up in his mouth to get it out of the nest. That's when you hit him.
Yep.
But you got to wait for that line to move. Don't hit when he strikes it, because he's just going to kill it.
But if you're looking for a big girl, shiners are going to be the way to do it, and those fish are feeding pretty well. The girls are hungry, the guys are not.
Gotcha. Okay, tarpon reports. What's going on tarpon-wise?
The only thing I've heard about tarpon-wise have been a few in PGI and the ones up by the trestle. I haven't even heard of any in Spring Lake this week. I'm sure they're there, just no report at all, so it would be more possible. You, Josh?
If I had something to add, this is where I would add it.
Well. Okay. I guess if you put two E's and not two L's, it changes the word quite a bit. All right. Going back to the bass fishing for just a minute, bass fishing, Rotunda's been pretty good. Out off the 9 Mile's been pretty good. Back up and through some of those areas.
Yeah.
Yeah. 9 Mile's been decent. The one place that hasn't been real good has been the King's Highway ponds. Yeah. And I think that's because those dried up so much. You know, when we had the dry spell, there weren't that many big fish in there that survived. There are fish in there, but the fish are, you know, in that 10 to 14 inch range, not the fish that most people are looking for. So there's some fish, but don't expect them to be big. If you're going out there and throwing a 6 or 8 inch shiner, there aren't that many fish that can even eat those fish out there right now. So if I were going to go bass fishing there, I'd be looking at crappie minnows instead of shiners.
Gotcha. Panfish like tilapia, Mayans, bluegills, shellcrackers, all that. Any good spots for them?
Well, I might have mentioned tilapia earlier. A lot of people, again, catching them off of their own docks on the river. But if you've got places where you can fish up in there where salt and freshwater are meeting, then you're probably going to do fairly well, because those fish will concentrate around structure a lot like snapper will in saltwater. So fish them kind of the same way. They like those kinds of areas. They like places where they can hide.
Yeah, I've been hearing of a few bluegill up there in Horse Creek and also over in the Webb Lakes. A couple of guys have been buying the wigglers and going over in there and fishing a little bit.
Okay.
Shell Creek has also been okay. Not fantastic, but okay for a mixed bag of panfish.
It's a pretty area, too.
It is beautiful.
A really, really pretty area.
Take a paddle craft. It's much nicer when you're in a kayak.
Okay. Feel a little safer in a canoe.
Okay, well, a canoe then. That's fine. It's still a paddle craft.
Yeah.
Take a paddle board.
I would like to have one of those pedal boats.
Yeah.
And put electric motor on the back of it. Be able to... It's got a rudder and... When you get close to your fish, just, you know, kill the motor, and you can just paddle your way up. Forwards, backwards, I mean, if I was going to fish up there, electric motor on a pedal boat, you know.
That'd be good, too. I like that.
That, to me, would be a nice way to fish up there.
I could follow.
Yeah. I always wanted to get one of those. The other thing I wanted was one of those, you know, banana things with the six wheels, the, you know, they six wheels on them. They go into
the
water and come out of the water. Those
A six-wheeled banana?
No, it's the like an Arctic cat.
Well, they're it's like an ATV.
I'm picturing the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile, except in a banana.
But they literally can drive off into the water. They float. They've got six big balloon tires on.
Now I know what you're talking about. Why'd you say banana?
The banana bunch. I mean, that's what they... When I was a kid, like before you were born, before your dad even considered you, there was a... like this Saturday morning cartoon type thing, but it wasn't cartoons. It was people dressed up in the big character suits.
As bananas?
No, they were... Well, I don't remember what they were. Probably some kind of animals. But that was back when H.R. Puffin stuff and all that was on. You know who H.R. Puffin stuff is?
Yes.
Okay.
And I know what stuff he was puffing. Are you sure that this actually happened, or did you dream this?
It was the 70s. There's a lot of things that could have been not as real as I thought they were. I mean, it's always possible.
Oh, geez. That's interesting.
Okay. All right. We've actually got the fishing report done. We've got a little bit of wrap-up time here. Did pretty good. We've got a little less than 5 minutes left.
What would you like to discuss? Philosophy?
What would your
nature?
Prediction be with going through this weekend and the next several days of kind of warmer weather?
Sunday, we've got a 50% chance of rain. So this weekend or next weekend, you know. What you're looking for is afternoon time. I'm going to go out no matter what day this is or what day it isn't. When you're listening to the report anytime in the next week, this is going to be fairly relevant. Afternoons are going to be the time to fish because the sun is time to cook on it. But I'm going to look for little small patches of grass on a look for a sand flat or something that's whiter. And then there's a very dark patch of grass, small patches of very dark grass, because the white sand means the sun's getting to it, has bleached it out white again. So that's going to mean good solar radiation from the sun, and the dark patches of grass are going to warm up really well, and that's going to put fish in those little grass patches. I've literally seen 18 inches 2 feet wide by 6 feet long have 6 to 10 redfish in it. I mean, they just bundle all up right next to each other. Now, why wouldn't I want to just go out on a big grass-covered flat like the tailing flats out there where the dark grass is everywhere and it's all nice dark grass? What would be... Here's the quiz. Why am I picking the white sand with the small grass patches over the big flat all covered in the dark grass?
So, if you go out to the desert area, okay, and you find an oasis in the desert where there's some vegetation, the oasis is going to be cooler because that's where the shade is. That's where you're not getting the sun hitting the sand.
Okay, Robert?
I'm going to kind of go with that. I'm a little hesitant on it, but I mean...
You're overthinking it. You get a whole big field of grass, but all that grass is going to be warming up in the sun because it's shallow. The water's still pretty clear there. You got all that grass flat. The fish could be anywhere. If you go on the white sand and you got these little dark patches of grass, they're going to be in those dark patches of grass. It cuts my search area down quite a bit.
Okay.
Literally not as lazy. It's more lazy than you think because I only have to look in the smaller grass patches. I'm not trying to look all across this whole flat.
Right.
That was the reason why. It just cuts down my search area. It's like fishing on low tide. When you fish on low tide, there's a lot less places for fish to be.
Yeah, good point.
I feel like he baited us into that.
He did. And the drag worked, and he put us on a stringer.
Well, does...
Meow. Meow. Meow.
Okay, no. Meow. Yeah, I couldn't get quite to the buttons fast enough to get right in on Robert's thing, so I was trying right there. All right, so if you're going to go out looking for fish, Robert, where would you go?
Honestly, I'm going to probably stick a little bit closer to home and just kind of fish the mouths of the canals pretty heavy. You know, trying to look for some of those sunnier sides of the canal, like the north-facing canals. Those seawalls are going to warm up a little bit more, and there's usually pretty shallow water right along the seawalls, but drop off fairly into deeper water, so there's some good ambush points, and I can kind of target a lot of different species rather than one particular one.
Okay, and well, boys and girls, say goodbye, Captain Josh Olive, the fish coach.
Okay, goodbye.
Right.
Bye, Frank.
You can find, what's the fish coach?
Fishcoach.net.
Fishcoach.net. Say goodbye, Robert.
Bye, Robert.
And goodbye, y'all. This is Fish and Frank, Robert in the chair, Captain Josh Olive. Thanks, y'all, for putting up with us. We'll catch you on the next Fish and Frank's Area Fishing Report.